Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're talking dynasty trade deadline dilemmas, advice for every type of dynasty manager on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Curtis Patrick, joined by Dave Caban. It's going to be a fun show tonight, Dave, or this morning, depending on when you're listening. We're going to break down a bunch of dynasty trades that were sent in by listeners and followers on various social media platforms. And it's pretty cool because we got questions from every type of team scenario, teams that are not in position to win this year. Should I or shouldn't I, playoff bubble type teams, and then, contenders that are trying to get in on the action as well. We might also put each other on the spot. I mean, who knows? But it's going to be fun. Very situational type show. I think there will be something to glean, for everybody though. Dave, how are you doing? Have you recovered from the Team USA 1-1 draw yet?
I'm doing all right. So I got to be honest, I was not even aware of
okay.
of that event.
We're off to an ice cold start.
And just for everybody listening in, I attempted about five times unsuccessfully to do the intro into this show, and I eventually had to just hand it over to Curtis. So that's what we're dealing with right now. I think we should note that we're releasing this trade show earlier this week than the projection show, because we thought this would be pretty timely, give people a couple of days to think through what they might do. We are going to put out on the podcast, our podcast specific feed, the projection show. What did we say, Curtis? I think we're going to put that out
Thursday.
On Thursday. So people will have it for the Thanksgiving games.
That's right. And then we'll put that same show out on the main RotoViz radio feed on Friday as normally scheduled. But for those of you that are maybe only subscribed to the RotoViz main channel, this would be a good incentive for you to subscribe specifically to our show's feed. You'll get a little sneak peek, a little day early, and you will have our advice from the game level similarity projections for all of those Thanksgiving Day games in timely fashion. So. Dave, I think let's just get a drop. Let's set the stage and let's start talking about some dynasty. Okay. Well, we put up the trade bat signal, if you will, and you guys stepped up. You gave us some good ones to think about. We're going to break them down. The reason that this week is so key to be talking about dynasty trades, most notably FFPC, the home of our games, high stakes dynasty games, RotoViz Triflex leagues, etc. The trade deadline's this week, Dave. It's at 12:55 before the Sunday kickoff. Last chance, or 12:50 rather. It's your last chance to accept a trade and have it processed for the 2022 season. So it's time to or get off the pot. You got to make your decision. What are your goals in 2022? So let's get into this first question. I want to have you answer the first one. I mean, it was directed to me on Twitter, but I think this is a really divisive player. And I've got an opinion, but I think it's a player that could have a wide range of valuations. And so I'm really curious your thoughts. This comes in from Ben Nguyen at GT underscore Ben on the Twitter sphere. What is Trevor Lawrence's trade value? A mid first? Should I keep him or trade him? I'm probably going to have the 103 in 2023. So prob going whatever QB is left between Young and Stroud. Currently have Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence as my quarterbacks in this super flex league.
Okay. Trevor Lawrence.
So basically it's kind of a two-parter, you know, yeah. So one, keep or trade Lawrence. And then two, I mean, specific to this owner's question, you know, do you prefer to wait on Trevor Lawrence? And in the context of this team, maybe not spend that 103 on a quarterback next year, you know, take highest overall wide receiver or running back, or do you move Lawrence now for a position player and then reinvest at the quarterback position? I think so. It's really kind of a two-parter implied.
Yeah, that is. After having taken this in, and I think that you could make an argument for either side, my initial reaction here is that I would keep Trevor Lawrence and I would try to use that pick to get a positional player and roll with Watson and Lawrence. One of the reasons for that is I'm not sure that what you get back for Lawrence right now in a positional player, even in a super flex league, is going to be able to approximate what you might get with the 103 at a positional player in the upcoming draft.
Yeah. I mean, you could at the 103, assuming that, you know, I think Ben is almost assuming that maybe Bijan Robinson will be one of the top two picks there, yeah. And saying that he'll take whoever's left between Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. But I mean, in super flex formats, I could easily see Young and Stroud going 1-2.
Right.
And you know, really the draft beginning at the 103 there with Bijan. So, I mean, that's a great spot to be in, to take, you know, BPA and feel good about it. And I agree. You almost have to wait to see if Lawrence can turn it around. Because he has not, you know, for all his ups and downs this year, you know, the value spike that Justin Fields has had in the last month after being basically, you know, on death's doorstep after September, you know, we haven't seen any of that for Lawrence. You know, he's basically just been bleeding value all season because we haven't really had those ceiling games.
Well, let me just ask this question though, right? Has he really been that bad?
It's not really about that. It's not about whether he can stick or not. It's about, because I mean, he's going to be the team starter again next year. Yep. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's going to get another chance, a second season with Doug Peterson, but you know, it's relative, you know, dynasty value is relative. You know, it's impossible not to compare, you know, these players, you know, from the same draft class with similar draft pedigree, you know, to one another. I mean, Lawrence has been a low end QB1 this year.
Yep.
And you know, he's got a handful of games over 20 points. I think he's got two over 25. He's had some real clunkers, three games under 15 points in a game with just 8.2. You know, those are the things that really stand out. And so, you know, it's just hard, you know, because I mean, the other thing is Deshaun Watson's not playing, you know, that's going to push him down.
Yep.
You know, the weird season by Russell Wilson, you know, he's fallen off. And so like Lawrence is outperforming some of these other quarterbacks because there's some noise, right? And so that situation is going to be different. And then how do you compare Lawrence to these players that are going to come in with very similar college pedigree that he brought to the table?
Okay, I get all of that. I guess what I would say is Trevor Lawrence at this point, 60% of his games this year has been at QB1. We could say there's extenuating circumstances. There are very commonly extenuating circumstances, right? Yeah. Last year only had four QB1 games, but I'm not even going to include last year because we can explain what was going on. Yes, there are some passers in this class upcoming that look very intriguing. Lawrence was very intriguing himself. The odds that one of these guys ends up being significantly more useful than him, I don't really know exactly where I would assign it. But I think that it might be dangerous to discount what Lawrence is right now and kind of pencil in any other incoming passer significantly better than him. Because I think where Lawrence sits right now is kind of that mark that there's some variables with a quarterback that are hard to control for, and you don't know if they're really going to be able to get over there. Some of them we could think, right, but it might not happen. Like, we really liked Fields, but for a very long, you know what I mean? It's possible this could have gone the other way, and we got a glimpse into that.
Yeah, I think you laid that out pretty well. And that kind of prepares us to basically analyze what the real question is. It's, do you prefer, you know, you're almost like trying to come up with a trade scenario where you're trading with yourself before you figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And so, do I prefer, you know, Trevor Lawrence at, let's just say, you know, maybe a floor of QB 18, you know, moving forward, and a ceiling of, you know, a mid QB one.
Yep.
That kind of that range of outcomes over the next couple of years, plus, you know, best player available at 103 in 2023, or, you know, who do you think is like the best player, best established player you could trade Trevor Lawrence for right now at either running back or wide receiver, like maybe two names at each position. Cause I'm with you. I'm not sure that the value is in alignment with the fantasy production.
It's probably, so at running back, the best player I can think, or like a name that I could think of possibly working, I'm not sure if it's like somebody like Dalvin Cook, right? Like, is that going to happen? But like, would you even want to get back Dalvin Cook? Like, are you making your team better if you pull in Dalvin Cook? To super flex league, you got to go address that quarterback position. You're entering the realm of the unknown to get a player that's only going to have utility for maybe a year, year and a half.
I think you've got to look younger.
Yeah, with this, that's what I'm saying.
Team, because right? He's going to have the 103. His team's struggling this year.
Yep.
You know, he's taken he's probably only been starting one quarterback all year because Watson's his other quarterback.
Yep.
So, you know, I think you got to look more at, you know, running backs under. It'd be like
you got to go to somebody, you know, that's not Barkley yet established, or Travis, right?
Etienne.
Oh, I don't, you know, think somebody's like trading you Barkley for Lawrence right now.
Well, he'll be 26 coming off the injuries. I mean, next contract, you know, I think maybe on the front end, it would be, you know, a Travis Etienne or Kenneth Walker, you know, somebody like that, that hasn't put up, you know, an overall QB or RB1 season. And then maybe from a wide receiver perspective, maybe it's more of like the post prime age stud. Like, would you trade Cooper Kupp, you know, for Trevor Lawrence, if you want to get out early enough, or
that brings, you know, up a whole other interesting discussion,
yeah,
but
or maybe even, you know, Tyreek Hill, for, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, plus, that type of thing.
So somebody like Tyreek Hill, I would start to think about it.
Yeah. So,
there's only a handful of players, Curtis, to be honest, where I think I'm thinking about it. Especially cause there's a large part of me that wants to take the chance here and see what happens with Robinson in that draft.
Yeah, so I think laying it out, the best option for Ben here is to keep Lawrence, you know, hope that he just doesn't fall off from the current production. If Watson comes back and offers, you know, similar type of fantasy utility, or even returns to his, you know, former outputs, and then you add best player available at 103, you know, your team is probably more like on the come rather than being an established contender. So that's probably your best future upside option there, Ben. Sounds like Dave and I reached some alignment. Hopefully hearing us kind of talk through the process and the mentals on that was helpful. Thank you so much for the question.
And then obviously there's just a caveat there too, which is if you could go in and get an absolute home run trade, you can still try for it. But I would just caution against making a trade just to make a trade, just to unload Lawrence. That's my piece.
Yeah, agree. Okay, so we put that one to bed. I think we're on the same page. All right, this one comes from Matt Lim, @_MattLim_. Hey, Curtis, I swapped Michael Gallup for David Njoku, ended up also losing Kyle Pitts. Did I win?
He lost Pitts for the season. Yes. Yeah.
So he covered up his, he happened to have, you know, before the fact, basically covered up his Kyle Pitts injury.
Or one could say he traded up at tight end.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Basically.
That's interesting. You know, he's assured himself of having at least one tight end one.
Yes.
And I mean, Michael Gallup doesn't look like he is going to capture his, you know, his once exhilarating form. So I think this was a great move. You know, if you can trade a fungible, you know, asset at receiver for any tight end with upside for the potential, you know, positional advantage, even in stand, you know, regular PPR in a non-premium format, I think this is a great trade.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, if you go in and you look at some of the numbers for Gallup, 2019, 2020 seasons, those were really good, but I mean, he has not put up a wide receiver 1 week since 2020, had just two top 24 weeks last year. Granted, he only played 9 games, but there's really nothing you can point to if you look in his profile this year that is going to inspire any type of confidence. So I think that even on a per game basis here, you're actually going to get more points out of Njoku than you are that wide receiver. So you're pulling in a player that should be playing on your team here every week for a player that honestly should be on your bench. So I really like this trade.
Yeah, Gallup has actually, since his sophomore NFL season, he's been wildly inefficient too, man. I mean, he's basically hovering around 200th every single year in fantasy points over expectation amongst all wide receivers. Been, you know, negative in a season end kind of total fantasy points over expectation 3 seasons running, including this year. And, you know, a 17% team target percentage on a squad like Dallas in his active games, you know, that's a good, healthy number. But he only has one game with more than 10 PPR. You know, it's just not happening for him at this time. He's not, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be the same player, or others have just, you know, usurped him in terms of their rapport, you know, with Dak Prescott in the context of the offense. So, yeah, great move by you, Matt. I think that will get the wheels turning. I don't know that that's a trade that a lot of people would have been able to make other than maybe right after Njoku. I'm curious of the timing on this, because it sounds like you made this trade a while ago. You know, if Njoku had just gotten injured and Gallup was like on his way back, their valuations would have been a lot different, you know, 6 weeks ago than they are today. Okay, next question, Dave. This is from at Jabufu, and he says, oh, I was number one in points in 2021.
Sorry, I got to stop you right there.
Yeah?
What is meant by this is crockpot discrimination? I must know. That's in his comment.
I don't know.
Did you intentionally gloss over that because you didn't know the context of it?
That is just his Twitter name.
His name is This Is Crockpot Discrimination. Well,
his handle is at Jabufu.
Okay.
But you know how like you have your name that appears? That it's his name is This Is Crockpot Discrimination. Okay. So
I didn't know with it being Thanksgiving week, if we had gotten, if this had, you know, kind of derailed.
Oh, it's actually about crockpots.
It's actually about crockpots. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is some sort of like saying, but it would be way more interesting if it was actually about like crockpot brand discrimination.
Yes. All right.
Unfortunately, he's not on the show with us here, Dave, so we will never know.
All right. Well, I want some more background on this if he's listening, if he could.
Okay. Yep. He was number one in points in 2021. So first off, you know, we're going to pour some out, because when you tell me that, it means that you didn't win your title. So you had a great team and unfortunately didn't win because you didn't say I'm the champ. So sorry to hear about that. And he slid to 5-6 this year, likely to make the playoffs. So, you know, maybe this is just an unlucky draw 2 years in a row, strong in points and poor in standings. But I'm unlikely to do anything there, and I would prefer a top 6 pick. He's been trying to sell Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Geno Smith. I'm going to assume this is Aaron Jones, Keenan Allen all season, but no offers. So, what should I do? Okay, so, this is a team where it's kind of like, if you've got all of those players as part of your core, you know, Alvin Kamara toward the end of his career, but still offering low-end RB1 output. You know, Joe Mixon having, you know, another solid, not spectacular year. You know, Geno and Superflex, I don't know that you really try to trade. He hasn't, you know, his value to your team is much higher than it is in, you know, on the trade market. You're just not going to get it. Your worst case scenario, you keep him around as like your, you know, QB3 moving forward, and you just got yourself covered if he, you know, returns as a starter next year. And then, you know, Aaron Jones, unfortunately, I just don't think you're going to be able to get much for him because the way the Packers season has gone, I mean, you know, they could shut him down or limit his touches to keep him fresh for next year or make him, you know, appealing in potential offseason trades, those types of things. Keenan Allen's the player that I think you're going to have a chance to move of all of these, and then followed by Mixon, provided he doesn't miss time with the concussion. So unfortunately, you know, you might have to ride out Kamara. You know, you might have to ride out Aaron Jones. But if you can move Mixon, who's the youngest of those backs and is on the best team situation, and if you can move Keenan Allen, those are guys that if I'm a contender in your dynasty league, competing manager, if I'm the third place or fourth place team, and I could add both of those guys, now I'm thinking I can win the title. So in your spot, Crockpot, I am trying to make deals where the opposing manager gets Mixon and Keenan Allen. They need to raise their overall weekly ceiling. You're going to have to trade at post 2022 values. So whatever you think your minimum price point on these guys should be, devalue that by 20% if you actually want to trade them.
Yep.
Because if you don't, you're going to be a bag holder on both of these guys.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, you know, the best you could hope for in moving both of these guys is like the absolute best would be like 2 firsts and 2 seconds. But that's the high end. You know, you're more likely to get maybe 2 future firsts and a second, or, you know, maybe you could get a future first plus a younger player, and a second, a younger player that is either injured or, you know, not producing, who should have an offseason value spike. Now that's the types of deals that you're trying to make. You want to trade these players into the opposition starting lineup, and you want to pull the players that will either be shoved to the bench or already on his bench. So those are the types of offers you're trying to construct. I'm specifically targeting the non first place teams, unless first place is only ahead by, you know, 10, 20 points or something. If it's a league where there's a runaway, you got to target the 2 or 3 teams behind that manager so they have some hope. Dave, what do you see here? Do you think any of those other players are worth trying to shop?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I agreed with a lot of what you said, particularly Gino. When I read through this list, he was the one guy that stood out to me as not necessarily needing to be moved. I think that, well, at this point, Mixon, you're probably going to have to wait till the offseason. Maybe same thing with Kamara. Or actually Jones, I should say. But Allen, you should be able to move. And I honestly would be open to trying to move all of these guys except Geno. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to move all of them prior to the end of the season. I think especially with the running backs, you can reach a situation heading into the draft going into next year where people start looking at their lineups and they're realizing that they might be a little thin at the position. Then you can try to move them. But like Curtis said, I think that the biggest thing to keep in mind here is that you're at the point where if you're deciding not to try to really go forward with this team, you need to start to churn this roster. That means you need to start calling shots on some younger players that you believe in, who you think their value has not actually, your perceived value for them is not, is higher than where their current value is, because you're going to have to move some of these guys at less than cost, which could feel uncomfortable. But if you're serious about turning your roster, like Curtis said, you're going to have to take a little bit of a hit on what you think their value is. So maybe it comes from trying to move them to a team that's competing right now that could use these guys, trying to get one of their lower level players that doesn't factor in hugely for them right now, but you think is going to be a big thing in coming years, and then a pick of some sort. And again, it's probably, if you want to get the deal done, it's not going to be a clear, you know, $100 on one side, $100 received on the other type of move. But if you're really serious about churning this roster, you got to start to get it younger and get these guys that are going to be stars in the future, as opposed to holding on to the guys that are going to be fading stars.
Yeah. So I think, you know, trying to get Breece Hall. You know, those are like the types of moves, man. So, you know, offer Joe Mixon for
maybe
Breece
even
Hall.
Like Javonte Williams at a pretty good discount right now.
Yeah. I would try, you know, you could try, Kamara for Javonte. You could try Joe Mixon for Breece. You could try Kamara and Aaron Jones for Travis Etienne. Those are the types of moves. And then for Keenan Allen, you know, I'm trying to trade Keenan Allen for, like, you know, Treylon Burks.
I was going to ask if you were going to say Treylon.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh my gosh.
I'm trying to trade, you know, and it's uncomfortable, man. You know, it's just uncomfortable because Allen, and you're going to second guess yourself because Allen is going to close this season really hot.
Yep.
He just is. And, like, you know, you're going to question it, but, you know, we're going to get to this point next year and you're going to be glad you did it, because Keenan Allen, even if he continues to produce, you know, he's going to hit the Jarvis Landry cliff for this type of player.
Yep.
And it will just never come back.
And if a guy like Treylon has two more games like the one he just had, you're never going to get him again.
Yeah, I really like the idea of not just focusing on Treylon, because he did you know, now I think everyone's curious.
Right.
You know, it's curious. It was an island game. But somebody who's been a little bit inconsistent but has shown the upside, you know, like Garrett Wilson, I think is another, you know, really good option there. And you could even do, you know, just trade for younger Keenan Allen, trade him for Michael Pittman. Pittman's been losing value.
Yep.
You know, all season, but you're going to buy some years there. So I think you've got some options, but again, your key here, I think the best scenario for you, obviously you're holding your own first next year. You're trying to add another first or younger players, and you will get the biggest haul if you try to package two of those four guys. We're talking Mixon, Kamara, Aaron Jones, and Keenan Allen. Package two of those four guys to another manager so he or she can envision, you know, dynasty glory. And really, you know, maybe you make two trades. You know, you make two-for-one trades and inject your team with some upside and some youth.
Let me ask you this, okay. Curtis. Sorry, but I think this is the type of player that's interesting to talk about in the confines of this. For a team like this one here that we're discussing, which is Crockpot's team, right? Does trying to add somebody like Rashad Bateman or a play like that have any type of appeal? Or at this point, is Bateman the type of player that we're not looking for? I know what I think, but I'm curious as to what you think.
I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, like, me either. Okay.
He's lost a ton of value for me because not only, you know, has he not stayed healthy for 2 years in a row now. I mean, we've seen, you know, no one's really matched the consistency that Hollywood had shown, you know, with Lamar. Andrews looks like he's still going to be, you know, the preferred target there. And now we've even seen, you know, I mean, shoot, what's his face? Robinson that just came over from the
DeMarcus Robinson. Chiefs.
DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah. I mean, we're seeing big games from, you know, just players who fit like a profile that have a specific skill. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I'm not really looking.
Right.
I mean, the idea of an injured young player is, I think, on point, but just that offense has not shown that it's going to really support just any wide receiver one. It's got to be the right wide receiver one. So I'm not looking in that direction.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just wanted that added level of context here because I think it's useful. And the final thing I'll say is don't be afraid to try to get a throw-in guy either. Real cheap. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. One other name, though, that's kind of the same idea, but we haven't seen anything yet. Keenan Allen for Jameson Williams.
Yes. You know,
same idea. I mean, I think definitely, you know, right track there.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. All right. We got a couple more here. This has been fun, man. Man, it's just making me really excited for offseason Dynasty Talk. Okay. This is from Mr. Goodcat, at Mr. Goodcat 1509. Hey, Curtis. This was in response to my reminder on Twitter that the FFPC trade deadline is this weekend. Thoughts on this trade? This is an old school dynasty, one QB, man.
Wow.
And he makes a note that the first that he sent is fringe playoff team. So, okay, so he is trading away his own first and trying to improve his team to make a run this year. So he sent J.K. Dobbins, Breece Hall, and his first. Okay, so two backs that are down for the count and his first. That's, you know, that's an interesting move. And he received T. Higgins and Travis Etienne. I think this is a smash win.
I like it. In fact, I like it so much.
Awesome trade, man. I think it's like missing a first, honestly.
I wish I was quicker on the draw. There we go.
Yeah. Do you have a cat? Because it's Mr. Good Cat. Or like, where's Henry at, man? Can we get a soundbite from Henry?
You know, one of the few times that I actually would like his presence while recording, he's not here, of course. Yeah.
I mean, Dobbins, unfortunately, you know, multiple seasons derailed now. And, you know, I wasn't as high as everybody. You know, even if he was healthy all year, you still got that issue, you know, like what we have in Buffalo. Yeah. You know, when you have the dynamic rushing quarterback, you know, that also doesn't really pass to the backs a lot. You know, what was J.K. Dobbins' ceiling this year? It was like what Miles Sanders is doing probably, right? And, you know, Breece, you know, I hope that he returns. You know, he looked awesome before he went down. You know, I hope he's healthy. But, you know, he could have the same outcome that J.K. had and not, you know, really return to form. Like, it just sucks about, you know, this position. You just never know what's going to happen after that injury. And, you know, trading the late first in the what should be a late first now after how much you've improved your team, Mr. Good Cat, you know, and you know, that pick's worth far less in a non super flex league. Far less. I mean, actually, if it becomes the late first, I mean, that's probably with the quality of the quarterbacks in this year's draft. You know, the 1-2 turn is where some of those players like Stroud, you know, and Young are going to enter the picture. And that's not really the type of move you're wanting to probably make for your team. So to get Higgins, who I think is going to continue to, you know, provide, you know, low-end fantasy wide receiver one numbers down the stretch, you know, he's got the youth on his side and a great situation, stable situation with Burrow. And then to get ETN, I mean, I think you also receive two guys that could still increase in value. This is like a master's level trade. Great
job. This is a trade for this year and for the future, which is hard to achieve in a single trade. So good on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's hit two more here. Okay. Also, this is from, at the OG Fantasy. So this guy, you can go listen to his podcast with other friends of, RotoViz, the Goat District podcast. They focus specifically on high stakes dynasty. And I see these guys in lots of my FFPC leagues, both dynasty and, you know, high stakes main event. These are talented players who are always thinking ahead. They're amongst the first to really jump in and applaud our RotoViz Triflex format. And they're playing all kinds of those leagues. And that's actually the format this trade was made in, Dave. So it says, I'm a Triflex contender. I sent Kyle Pitts, of course, it's tight end premium. I received Chris Godwin, Greg Dulcich, and a 23 second. That's interesting, man. It's interesting. You know, Pitts is super divisive now. Like, what is he? I think you and I are maybe little more down on what his value should be now. I mean, I don't think his ceiling has changed. Like, it's just so hard to know what he would be with a different quarterback and then also potentially a different head coach. But, you know, most people are lauding Arthur Smith for what he's done, you know, with what appeared to be a pretty limited Atlanta Falcons team. And, you know, they've been competitive every week with this style of play. So I don't think the change to Desmond Ridder or anybody else would necessarily yield much of a different offense. So
yeah,
there's a scenario where Kyle Pitts just becomes early career Eric Ebron. Like, I know that sucks to hear, but there's a scenario. And in that scenario, this trade would be highway robbery.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to make a trade of Pitts to get the stability and the home run value that Chris Godwin will provide for the next 2 to 3 years, even in a transition from Brady, Godwin's going to be fine. He's going to be at worst a wide receiver 3 in your lineup in this format.
Yep.
Dulcich's ceiling, is it that far off from what Pitts could be? And then to get a second there, you know, I think Godwin and Dulcich should have been the max that you would have got in return. I mean, the second just feels like free money.
Especially in one of these Triflex leagues, that pick could be pretty darn useful, right? So, yeah. I mean, it depending on what happens with the quarterbacks coming in this class too, right? We see a number of them go. All of a sudden, you could be looking at a spot, especially with where this second ends up, where you're getting a pretty good player. So I really like this trade. And I agree with the idea that Dulcich has a ceiling that's not too far off from what we've seen from Pitts. And that's even if I guess what it comes down to too is that Pitts is really, until we get like a full change of everything in Atlanta, almost just like burning a hole in your roster in that spot and not in any type of good way.
Yeah. You're going to continue to start him because of what he's, you know, hypothetically capable of doing. And he's going to continue to underperform and damage your team. But, you know, that's productive struggle mindset and dynasty as well. You know, we haven't changed our opinion about Pitts as a prospect, but, you know, we've got, you know, 2 years of sample size, and, you know, year one was really great other than the touchdown department, and year two hasn't been so great. And it does, you know, we got to preach patience with tight ends. I mean, I think maybe the learning from last year is, even though Pitts is one of the best tight end prospects ever, maybe the learning is that no matter how good a tight end prospect is, it's just not worth spending, you know, a top half of the first round pick on him.
Right.
You know, the opportunity cost of that is immense when, you know, the sample size over NFL history is, you know, most of these tight ends take a few years to kind of figure it out. So I think this is a great trade. And I know, you know, I know this manager has a lot of Kyle Pitts. And so this was just an example where, you know, he's just trying to spread out the ownership a little bit and divest from some shares in key spots where he felt he could get great value. So appreciate him sharing it. And it shows, I mean, this just goes to show you that there are still managers out there that will pay, you know, every cent on the dollar that Pitts was worth at the beginning of the season. So explore those trades. You know, if Pitts is your tight end too, and you're a contender, you know, like he was, you know, go improve your team. Go get that title. You know, you're not going to be licking any wounds after this type of return. All right, well, let's bring up the rear with one final question. This actually came in 17 seconds before we hit record. So Derek at DB Schuett just got this one in before the deadline here. So this is a Superflex Dynasty. He's a non-competitive manager this year. He wants to know, should he trade... Man, this is a big package. Hollywood, Jahan Dotson, and Alvin Kamara. Okay. For Javonte Williams and DK Metcalf.
So he has Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Godwin, Jameson Williams, Ridley, Claypool, Collins at wide receiver, running back. He is Swift, Robinson, Matt Breda, and Rashad Penny.
Yeah, so I mean, he's already stacked it. He's stacked at wide receiver. You know, wide receiver depth's not a problem at all. Probably, you know, probably just looking to add some high-end, potential high-end running back production for the future here. So this trade feels like it centers around getting Javonte and then, and it basically trying to package up, you know, it's the 3-for-2 to improve the starting lineup rather than focus on the depth. You know, Hollywood, I think, you know, he showed some real rapport with Kyler. Remains to be seen what that will look like with DeAndre Hopkins around. You got to think that affects the ceiling just a little bit. So I like the idea of trying to, you know, trying to take some value there where it presents itself. Dotson's looked good, if not spectacular. And then, you know, Kamara's on the way down. Javonte, you know, the injury thing, like we were talking about with Breece, you know, you hope he comes back. But the Broncos look super broken. And Javonte, you know, was in an unfortunate timeshare with a player that's now been cut the same season. I don't know without a coaching change if Javonte will reach his, and potentially a quarterback change, he'll reach his true
ceiling that everyone was thinking.
So, you know, I almost kind of want to take the running backs out of it because I think Kamara for Javonte just feels super fair. It's a trade that makes sense for, you know, in any league, you know, the competing team that lost Javonte to add the Kamara points and then hope that he keeps some value for another couple years as a receiving back profile or something like that. You know, it makes sense to get production now for Javonte. So it kind of comes down to, let's just say that's a wash. Would you rather have Hollywood plus Dotson or would you rather have Metcalf?
I'd rather have Hollywood and Dotson than Metcalf, and I might even rather have Hollywood than Metcalf.
Yeah, I think it gives you more outs, and you know you're listing, you know, part of this depth after Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, and Jameson Williams, which is a great top four, by the way.
Yep.
We don't really know what you have, Derek, with Calvin Ridley, Chase Claypool, and Nico Collins. Nico Collins, you know, he could turn into a pumpkin at any minute. Chase Claypool, you know, we got to think his value will increase at some point, but I don't know if the Bears will have enough passing volume. We could have an Atlanta Falcons situation here where there's just not enough meat on the bone for every receiver in the offense each week. And then Ridley, you know, in Jacksonville, that's going to be an interesting situation in 2023. But Christian Kirk, you know, has looked pretty good. So, you know, at best, Ridley would potentially be the 1A and a 1A, 1B, you know, situation. I don't think he's going to have, you know, 160 target season in Jacksonville like he was going to have in Atlanta. So, you know, those three, you know, they do give me some pause. If your league's starting three wide receivers and then you got to have a flex as well, you only have four that you know what they are. So to trade away Hollywood and Dotson, who are usable any week now, I'm just not so sure it makes a lot of sense for you. I think it would be better for you to just make this trade Kamara for Javonte.
Right.
I would take the receivers out and just offer that.
Yeah, because in this trade with the way it was configured now, if it was a running back that I felt better about than Javonte, I'd be more inclined to go for it. Or if you were getting Javonte and another running back that I could see getting into your lineup somehow. But the way it's constituted here, I'm not sure that overall we can rely on this benefiting your team in more scenarios than it hinders it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other...
But I don't know, you know what other back it would be. There's this big chasm, I feel like, between the value of the backs that I'd want to go at and the guys that I think I could really achievably get without, you know, a massive overpayment. Because if we think of the young backs right now, right? There doesn't...
Well, I mean, so, he's not super young, but, like, if you go down to that next tier of guys who maybe is accruing value this year, but they might not have a lot of long-term value because they're already into the mid-20s. Like, the Tony Pollard manager isn't going to trade you Pollard for Kamara right now because he's just too hot. You know, maybe Ramondre Stevenson to buy years, but there hasn't been that much difference in the production level over the course of the season. And we highlighted Ramondre as having, you know, the easiest overall running back schedule on yesterday's episode, rest of season. So I'm not sure, you know, if that manager is listening to the show, they're not trading Ramondre for Alvin Kamara. And so then you really get into some situations where it's like, do I really want to move Kamara for this? You know, Antonio Gibson. It kind of falls off there. You know, you're almost in a situation where you got to add something to Kamara to then try to go up. But I don't know why the other manager would want to do it.
What do you think if you did something like Kamara and Godwin and a pick? Is there any way we can get it back better than Javonte?
Well, maybe. I don't know that I'm like desperate to move Godwin off of this team, though. You know what I mean? I kind of like keeping him there. He's the type of receiver that could work in any offense if he ends up, you know, getting moved. It provides a little bit of protection for Jameson Williams if he doesn't return to form right away, or Dotson if he continues to be ouchy, or Hollywood if he takes a little bit of a backseat to DeAndre Hopkins for a year. I like Godwin in the context of this team, and a wide receiver is the strength of this team. Maybe the move would be to trade Ridley and Kamara.
So, but let's just circle back here, right? I guess this drives an even larger question. Does this team need to force a trade here?
Well, I think the idea here is that, you know, he's not competing this year, and, you know, not knowing what the future holds for the Saints and Kamara. I mean, I get the idea of, I mean, this feels like the last window.
I think it is a good spot to try to move Kamara.
You're either holding him forever, you know, or you move him now. So, I mean, I think if you wanted to trade, the problem is, you know, packaging Kamara and Ridley, you know, I like that, but if you're trading Kamara to the contenders, and so Ridley will have, you know, less value. So, I mean, I understand why you're bringing up Godwin in that, you know, scenario, but geez, I mean, maybe you could even just not focus on a running back. If that other owner wanted Kamara and was trying to move Javonte, that tells me they want the running back points. So you've got an opening there. Yep. Would you just do Kamara and Dotson for Metcalf? Like, just come back, take Javonte out of the deal since we don't know what he's going to be. Leave Hollywood out and, you know, just package up Dotson with Kamara for DK.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility too.
You can be 25-year-old physical specimen. Yeah. Then that gives you the flexibility to maybe go trade, you know, Godwin to a contender. And do that, maybe make a trade off of a trade. But I think in your situation, don't get hung up on the positions that you get in return in your trade. You're not competing this year. You're not setting a line. Your lineup does not matter rest of the year. In fact, the worse your lineup is, the better to improve the value of your picks. So just get the highest value players that you can that could still either accrue a little bit of value or certainly won't lose any value due to age or production fall off the rest of the year. That's really the takeaway.
Okay. I think that's a really good way to sum things up there, and a super important note about not focusing so heavily on the particular positions here, given the context that this team finds itself in. So this was our dynasty. Let's see if I can get it this time, Curtis. Dynasty trade deadline dilemma show.
Yeah, crushed you got it, man. You nice. Got it.
I got it. We will be back on our specific podcast feed on Thursday to do the GLSP show, fantasy projection show, and then that will drop on the main feed for those of you that listen to us there on Friday. If you are busy and wrapped up with things and don't hear us before your Thanksgiving, we hope that you have a wonderful holiday, that you make some good lineup decisions and your teams do great. And for those of you in that boat, we will see you next week. Everybody else, we will see you later in the week. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.